You may have heard this before. Brother Gray brought some, but there are some new ones on here, and I think they're just tremendous. I believe a gal probably wrote these, but they say a man did. These are the man's rules. At last, a guy has taken the time to write this all down. Finally, the guy's side of the story. Don't write me off yet, ladies. I can hear you getting ready to walk out. Here are the rules that men have. All of these are number one. That's for a reason. Number one, men are not mind readers. Yeah, the men are all sitting there saying, should I say amen? My wife's back there saying, you're right. You are not a mind reader. Number one, Sunday sports. It's like the full moon or the changing of the tides. Just let it be. Number one, crying is blackmail. And it is. It is blackmail. Cry, we got no choice then. Number one, ask for what you want. Let us be clear on this one. Subtle hints do not work. Strong hints do not work. Obvious hints do not work. Just ask for what you want. Number one, guys are starting to get louder. Number one, I like this one. Now listen to me. And we get a bad rap on this. Number one, learn to work the toilet seat. Amen. You're a big girl. If it's up, put it down. We need it up. You need it down. You don't hear us complaining about you leaving it down. Number one. Yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. No, what do you mean? We're not that deep. We're not. Yes and no. That's probably about all the thought we've put into it anyways. Number one, come to us with a problem only if you want help solving it. That's what we do. Sympathy is what your girlfriends are for. Yeah, now. Amen. We're starting to ring them out now, brother. Amen. Number one. Anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. Number one. Number one. If you think you're fat, you probably are. Don't ask us. I didn't make these up. Number one, if something we said can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one. Number one, you can either ask us to do something or tell us how you want it done, not both. If you already know best how to do it, just do it yourself. Number one, whenever possible, please say whatever you have to say during commercials. Number one, Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do we. That's why guys like GPS so much, amen? Now if they get lost, they can blame it on a computer. Number one, all men see in only 16 colors, like Windows default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit. We have no idea what mauve is. Number one, if it itches, it will be scratched. We do that. Boy, you said that really loud, brother. If we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we will act like nothing's wrong. We know you are lying, but it's just not worth the hassle. If you ask a question, number one, if you ask a question you don't want an answer to, expect an answer you don't want to hear. Number one, when we have to go somewhere, absolutely anything you wear is fine. Really? Number one, don't ask us what we're thinking about unless you are prepared to discuss such topics as baseball or football. Number one, you have enough clothes. Number one, you have too many shoes. Number one, I am in shape. Round is a shape. Number one, thank you for reading this. Yes, I know I have to sleep on the couch tonight. But did you know that men really don't mind sleeping on the couch? It's like camping. Pass this to as many men as you can to give them a laugh. Pass this to as many women as you can to give them a bigger laugh.
Understand this.
Men, as much as you like to say you're in control, you're not. You're not. Girls are in control. We act like we're in control. And sometimes we are treated like we're in control by people around us. We're not in control. If your wife says something, what do? Yeah, amen. See, you say, oh, I'm the man of the house. I am the man of the house. Remember I said that. I'm the man. As long as she lets you be. Huh? Amen. Amen. That's why you've been married so long. All right, let's get to preaching. Let's have a word of prayer to start out. I'm so thankful to be in God's house today. There's just nowhere better to be than in God's house. Amen. It's good to laugh. I tell you, it's good to laugh. Ladies, if the men treat you right, they treat you as a queen. Let me say that again. Men, if you're not treating your ladies like a queen, you're not treating them right. The Bible says submitting yourselves one to another. See, what happens is this. Men, and this is good stuff, they had this planned. Men believe, they see the scripture in the Bible that says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And the men stop reading there. Glory to God. You are submitting to me, woman. You are, God has put me in authority over you, and you are to submit to me. That's not what God says. Although that's as far as men take it, because they're dumb. Why in the world doesn't your wife treat you good? Because you don't treat her good. Why would she want to treat you good when you treat her like she's a servant? Why would she want to treat you like a king if she has nowhere in the throne room? I'm not talking about she's not a... You don't even have her in the whole world, in the throne room with you. Men, we're missing out. We're missing out on what could be very good because we don't treat our wives like the Bible says we should treat our wives. Amen. We should be willing to die for them. Amen. Hey, Christ gave himself for the church. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh boy, that might not work in some of your plans, but understand this. I don't say you should walk around like a henpecked fella that, oh man, I can't do anything without the permission of my wife. No, that's not the point. The point is if you realize you're not on a 50-50 road, if you realize that you're not on a two-way street, understand this. If you're on a two-way street and you guys are traveling in the wrong directions, how's that help your life? A marriage is not a two-way street. A marriage is a one-way, and you ought to both be going the same way. A lot of people say, well, it's a 50-50. It's not a 50-50. You should be willing to give everything you've got to your wife. And because you are, she'll be willing to give everything to you. How do you become the spiritual leader in your home? How do you do that? You say, well, this is good. I'll preach here in a minute. Amen. How do you become the spiritual leader in your home? You listen, you can't lead a kingdom that doesn't care about their king. How many kings last very long in a kingdom that the subjects hate them? Doesn't last long, does he? But understand this, if you treat the people in your kingdom like you love them, if you treat them in your kingdom like you care about them. Listen, is Jesus the King of Kings? Is he the Lord of Lords? What did he do when he came here? He humbled himself, was born in a stable. The first breath of air he took was of a stall. We should be willing to understand that when Christ gave us the example, the only thing he could come up with that would show his love enough was the marriage. And what he's trying to express to you is this: you've got to love each other enough. You've got to love and care for each other enough that men are willing to submit themselves to their wives just like the wife is willing to submit themselves to their husband. It's almost like, who can go lower? Who can become a bigger servant to the other? Who can care about each other enough? What happens is this: men assume a position that they aren't given. Listen to that one for me. Men assume a position that they are not given. You are not given as a king with an absolute loyal subject. That has to be earned. In this day and age, you've got to earn it. And you know what happens is this: you get the single guys that surround you. And well, you're a sissy. Because you, well, you're a sissy. Understand this: I love my wife. I have friends, but I don't love my friends like I love my wife. And I've got to be willing to give of myself to my wife. And if I'm willing to give of myself to my wife, what do you think she's going to be willing to do? She's going to be willing to come exactly the same way I'm coming to her. We are messing up today in Christian realm. We are messing up. And what we're doing is this: we are living the world's philosophy. We are living a philosophy where everything's all right in my own eyes. And the way I see it, that's the way it ought to be. Here's the funny thing. The Lord gives us the ability to be spiritual leaders. He gives us the right to be a spiritual leader. The problem is you don't ever crack your Bible open. Boy, it's quiet. I love that. The problem is we don't ever pray. When's the last time you prayed for your wife? Oh, boy, it's quiet now. Well, I pray for everything else. I pray for the missionaries. I pray for the preacher. I pray for the associate pastor. I pray for the people in the church, but my family I don't think I ever mention in my prayers. How dare you? How dare you? My wife won't let me do the laundry. That's twofold. Number one, I'm bad at it. She'll be the first to tell you, I dried some clothes that I ought not dry. What did you do? It comes out and the shirt's about this big now. And it was supposed to be mine. She won't let me do that because she wants to show me. And listen, can I help you just one more thing? No marriage is perfect. What's funny is the people that write books about marriage often end in divorce. There's a guy that wrote a book about marriage. He's called Christ. He wrote a Bible. And it doesn't explain marriage any better than in the Scriptures. I'm telling you, it doesn't. There's no book you could write that's better than the Scriptures about it. My wife does the laundry not because I force her to, because she desires to. Now listen, we've been married for 15 years. That's not a lot. But it took me that long to figure it out. Hey, have you figured it out? Have you figured out that your wife means everything to you? I'm not kidding. Your wife means everything to you. And what happens is this: we rush into this world, we rush into this commitment today, and because we don't see it as a commitment anymore. We rush into it as teenagers and say, well, glory to God, she looks good, I better latch on to that. Understand this: why in the world wouldn't you pray for the right person to come into your life? Why in the world wouldn't you pray to have that person be delivered to you by God? Well, that's impossible. Funny story. I was feeling down in the dumps this last week. I was writing out a pity party list. You ever done that before where you write out in your mind, man, all these things have happened to me, glory to God. I'm just going to write a pity party about it. Well, I decided to stop the pity party. I said, you know, Brother Dave, you serve an almighty God. And no matter what's thrown at you, no matter what enemy, you serve an almighty God. I took that pity party list, I crumpled it up and threw it out and had some other things to do. I went over here and did some other things, and then a call came on my phone. Please come down. You've got somebody who wants to visit the school. I came down, started talking to the person who wants to visit the school, wants to bring their kids to the school. Make a long story short, I got to sit there and lead somebody to Christ because the Lord brought them to me. Now, if the Lord is able to bring somebody to you that's willing to hear about Jesus Christ, don't you think for one minute that they could bring somebody in your life that is your wife? Amen. Why in the world do we want to rush into that commitment that's the greatest commitment beyond salvation that you will ever make? 50% of the people in this world today end up in divorce. 50%. You know what the funny thing is? Divorce is almost a rite of passage today. Well, I'm on my third wife. Well, you must have been dumb three times straight. I don't want, understand this, I don't want another wife. I want to make sure I work to keep the one I have. Amen. Don't think for a minute, oh, everything is going to be just wonderful in your home. It's not, because we're dumb. Men in general, that's why they make rolling pins. You realize that, right? We, a lot of times, have to have things given to us from our wife because we don't see it. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a malfunction in our male genes that we can't figure out. But once you've got it, why in the world would you want to stop? I hear this all the time. Listen, I've got to live with my wife. I don't have to live with my friends. Why would you want to spend more time with the people you don't live with? Why would you want to spend more time with the people that don't really care about you? Oh, you might say, hey, I've got good friends, and I do. But you know what your good friends would say to you? Boy, you better hear this now. This is good stuff. Do you know what you need to hear from your friends, your real friends? They'll say, why don't you stay home? Why don't you stay home? Because there's a person at home that needs you. And whether we like to say it or not, whether we like to admit it or not, you got to understand that we need each other. I need my wife. Got to have her. And listen, it took me a long time to learn that. You thought, well, that's stupid. Why didn't you learn that right off the bat? Because I'm dumb. And men are. Hush. But I came to a realization of this. And it's funny how I came to it. We went on vacation, and I went away, and I took my daughter. We drove, and they got to fly down. And for 2 or 3 days, I was away from my wife. I came to the realization it's like amputating a limb when she's not around. It's like she's supposed to be there, and she's not, and it was hard. And I thought for the first time, man, that's crazy. You know what? I came to this. God gave me her. And the Bible talks about two people becoming together to make one flesh. And I did this at Brother York's church for their You Are Love banquet. I took Play-Doh, two different colors. And I gave them permission to mix the colors. Man, I never had Play-Doh in my life growing up, but I know when my kids had it, don't mix the colors! I tell the people, hold hand in hand. Husbands and wives. You know you're allowed to hold hands once you're married? Amen. And only once you're married? And only once you're married? And I had them mix the Play-Doh together. And you know what happened? The two colors became one color. And they mixed and kneaded the dough together. And I said, that's like you are. When you come together in marriage, when you come together and you put yourselves together as one flesh, can you, without pain, can you pull the colors apart again? No. Can you, without very, very hard times and hard labor, get the two colors to come apart? See, what happens is this. You are no longer your own. The Bible says that you are bought with a price. Now understand, Christ likened his church to a marriage. If you're bought with a price, the price has been paid for your marriage as well. And what happens is this, you come together as one flesh, one people, one entity together. You should not be against each other. You should not fight against each other. You should be willing to understand that without her, you can't go. Without him, you can't go. I hate separate vacations. I'm going to tell you right now, you get mad at me all you want. You write me letters, meet me out in the parking lot, take a number. But understand this, it's not good that you go on separate vacations. Amen. Not good. You can say what you want, it's not good. I would never want to go on a vacation without my wife. What in the world? Are you kidding me? We fight daily through this life. Not fighting amongst ourselves, but the life struggle is hard. If I want to break away from it, I want to take her with me. Amen. We so much work to be separated from each other. How in the world is it that we're even staying together anymore? We are to be one flesh. We are to treat our wives as Christ treated the Bible says, as Christ treated the church. He gave himself for it. And I promise you, men, I promise you, if you will give of yourself to your wife, the one thing, and I, if you figure women out, please let me know. But I do know one thing. Women desire to have the men that they love to love them back. Amen. To care about them. To show them that they really do matter. It took me years to figure that out. Years. Please don't take a long time to figure it out for you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never make the years that Bud and Marty have made without that truth.
Yes.
You won't make it.
That's right.
I promise you, Brother Bud lives for her. And I promise you, she lives for Brother Bud because he lives for her. See, love doesn't work one way. Got to be both ways. You say, well, Brother Dave, that's not true. Christ loves us no matter what. Yeah, he does. But let me ask you a question. Are you going to feel that love unless you love him back? Are you? The love is always there, whether we take it or not is the real deal. Whether we take it or not, it's offered to us. Whether we take it or not is what matters. Why are we battling that battle today, Christian? Why are we doing that? Why are we fighting against the very person we care about? This is good stuff. Let me show you what I'm doing today. I don't have anything more important than this right now. I believe the Lord's laid this on me right now.
Amen.
I'm not going to mess around. Why in the world are we going to be the very people that God has held up? You are the Christians. You are the people that should not have to do this. You are the people that should not have to worry about going to Walmart and looking at the bottom row of the official documents and finding a divorce packet.
That's right.
And let me ask you a question. Do you think for 1 minute, do you think for 1 minute that divorced people did not go through pain? See, what happens is this. We write off divorced people as they made a mistake. No, don't live like that. Don't you dare live like that. Divorced people have been through enough. We don't need to help them. Divorced people, we do that as Christians. We do that as Christians. We do that. We decide that if a Christian has been down, if a Christian is down and out, we'll go ahead and kick them and keep on kicking them. We do that. Now listen, some people, understanding this, some people need to be kicked every once in a while because they're being disobedient. But why in the world would we want to take somebody that's hurting and cut their legs out from under them? Why do we do that? A person that's been divorced, do you realize they know they've been divorced? They don't have to be told. They know it. A person that has been cheated on, do you know that they know they've been cheated on? They don't need help in understanding that. You say, well, I'm so glad I'm above it. Really? How many times have you cheated on Christ?
Amen.
Oh, that's good preaching. How many times have we cheated on Christ?
Sir.
See, if the Lord likened his love as a marriage and he desires us to be the bride of Christ, how often have we cheated on our suitor?
Yep. That's right.
How often have we cheated on Christ? You think for a minute, well, I've never cheated on my wife, and I never have, and glory to God, I never will.
Amen.
But understand this. Why in the world do you think you're above it? Boy, it got quiet. Why do you think you're above it?
Right.
Why do you think you're above sin? Why do you think you're above doing wrong? I get the biggest kick out of that. You say, well, I never. Oh, yes, you did. You've done it somewhere along the line. You've committed sin. You say, well, it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. Here's the thing. My wife has got to literally be my support to keep me from doing wrong. Amen? And you say, well, that's all girls do that. You know why they do that? Because they don't want you to do wrong, dummy. Christ desperately does not want you to do wrong. And I hear this preaching all the time. Well, Christ puts failure in your life to make you stronger. No, he does not. He does not want you to fail. Why in the world would we think that our Heavenly Father wants us to fail? The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Christ doesn't want your marriage to fail. Christ doesn't want your marriage to even go bad. But we live this life missing it. We live our life missing that most important thing. We miss that love that Christ has set up for us. We miss it. He's likened the love that he has for us to a marriage. And the one thing that we have, if you're married in here today, man, thank God for what you've got. Thank God for what you've got. You've got somebody that is going to stand by you forever as long as you'll stand by them forever. Why wouldn't we stand for each other? Why wouldn't we do that one thing that Christ desires us to do is to love each other? Why would we forsake that in the home? Why would we do that? And what happens is this. We get to the point where we don't even know what the love of Christ is anymore. Why do you say that? We don't know what the love of Christ is anymore because we don't know what the love in our family is anymore. And listen to me. I know that some of you are probably upset in hearing this right now. But I know that if it was up to you, you would have and live the life that I'm talking about right now. If you had your choice. I know that some of us have had bad times. I know that some of us have went through some things. I know that it's not been easy along the way. But you know what? The hard never is easy. The good never is easy. We expect it to be right. We expect it to go just perfect. We expect it. It's lovey-dovey honeymoon time for the first little while. Well, then, glory to God, it went away. Brother Dave, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Do you have a mirror? Because I got news. You're not what you used to be either. It's the looks. Now, I will say this. It's the looks that drag you in. When I saw my wife for the very first time, if she didn't look good, there wouldn't have been another date. Brother Dave, if the Lord lined you up, that's just food. If the Lord lined it up, I would be attracted to her. Because that's how you start. A bee doesn't come to an ugly flower. And by the way, when she saw me for the first time, if I would have come at her and she wouldn't have liked the way I looked, what would have happened? There wouldn't have been another date. But that might be where it starts, but brother, that's not where it ends, and that's not where it lives. Your life will change. You will look bad eventually. Gravity says you'll look bad eventually. You better have something more than the physical attraction. You better have something more than just your looks. You better have love that Christ has given you, and you better pray for it, because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't come natural. When did we exclude God and exclude prayer out of our marriages? When did we exclude what God has done? What's amazing is this. You start out, God brought us together. It's amazing how wrong God was 2 years later. Glory to God, I can't just live with her anymore. She's terrible. Was God right when he brought you together? Then God's right now. Who's wrong then? Got to be you.
Right.
I want to help you. I didn't have any of this planned. I really didn't. But we are in a battle today, Christian. How are you going to survive the battle? And I'm talking about the battle of Christianity, the battle that we fight every day. How are you going to survive that battle if the battles that you fight at home are never won? How would you like to be a soldier that has to go out and fight and you've already been through a battle at your house? Eventually you'll be out of the battle. Well, it's a give and take, Brother Dave, and she's not giving anything. Why is it always the other person's fault? Man, that's good stuff. I'm not saying, hey, maybe it is the other person's fault, but why is it always the other person's fault? I'm here to tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt. In our marriage, I am well over 75% of the problem. Well over. I even hesitate to say she's any of the problem most of the time. Because men live their lives a lot of the times with foolishness. Only one amen. You are amening the man rules. Put the seat down, girls. Some problems a bouquet of flowers can't fix. Some problems you've got to meet with prayer and fasting. When is the last time you prayed for your marriage? Well, things are going good, Brother Dave. When's the last time you prayed for your marriage? I know Brother Bud and Marty have been married a long time. I think they should be praying for the marriage. Amen. Still, to this day, I think he should thank God for that woman every day. I think she should thank God for that man every day, no matter if he left the seat up or down. Because if you were thanking God for your wife every day, if you were thanking God for your spouse every day, no matter who they were, you do understand, right, that if you were thanking God for them, they probably wouldn't complain about the seat. Am I giving you a revelation today? I'm not going to write a book about this. Because I'm going to tell you, if I wrote a book about it, we'd probably end up in divorce court. That's what happens when you think you've got it handled. We don't have it handled. Matter of fact, we do not have marriage handled. We really don't. There's a lot of things that we can learn. It's only been 15 years. I can be learning from them right here. Man, Brother Bud, Marty, how did you do it? That's where you can learn from. Amen. Isn't that good? He made it easy. Oh. Oh. Don't you wish you could say that? Man, I tell you. The reason this is not preached enough is because people are afraid to preach it. They're afraid to preach it because they're worried that they've got divorced people in the auditorium. Man, I don't want to exclude that. I'm not excluding divorced people. I'm understanding. It's not, when you get divorced, you lose your flesh. You lose part of your flesh. And it's a painful thing. It's a horrible thing. That's why I'm trying to get into these teenagers' hearts to understand. You better start praying for a mate right now. You better pray for the right one. Because in this world today, they don't want you to succeed. They want you to divorce. They want you to do wrong. They want you to split. It's almost right to split anymore. In Hollywood, they're amazed when people make it for 3 months in a marriage. Glory to God, Mel Gibson's been with his wife for 3 months. They must really mean it. Where did Till Death Do Us Part go? Amen. Well, I'm not satisfied with the way she acts. I'm not satisfied with the way he is. Did you pray for them?
Yeah, amen.
Did you pray for them? What happens? We get our eyes fixed elsewhere. And let me talk to you as a Christian. We get our eyes fixed on somewhere other than God. Not necessarily a bad thing either, by the way. We could have our eyes fixed on something that we deem as good. It's okay. We get our eyes fixed elsewhere, and what happens is our gaze stays there long enough where it ends up that's all we're looking at anymore. To look elsewhere is not as pretty as it was over here. To look elsewhere is not as green as it was over here. To look elsewhere, we don't want to take our eyes off of anything but what we're doing. Understand this. In the Christian life, you've got to keep your eyes on Christ all the time. If you take your eyes off of Christ for just a moment, your thoughts and your actions will be guided by your look. In a marriage, if you take your eyes elsewhere, your thoughts and your eyes will be guided by your look. And then what happens? the very thing that God has given, the greatest gift short of salvation that he has given you, becomes one of the most heartache felt, one of the most terrifying things that you can go through. If you would go and ask a divorced person, how was it to go through a divorce? I promise you they'll tell you it's the most pain they've ever felt. The Bible talks about that being a wound that will not heal. In Proverbs, the Bible says it's a wound that will not heal. Can I challenge you today, Christian? No marriage is perfect except the one that Christ has with us. That one's perfect because he loves us no matter what we do. No marriage is perfect on this earth. Why in the world would we think it's supposed to be? Can I challenge you today? And I'm all done. Let your marriage mean something more than just a ring. Let your marriage mean something more than just a changing of the last name. Let yourself realize that that person that you're with is your flesh. Your flesh. That person that you're married to is your flesh. And if you treat your flesh badly, what does your flesh end up becoming? Very sick. Why would your flesh want to stay with you if you didn't treat it good? Oh, Brother Dave, that's easy for you to say. I didn't say I had a... Matter of fact, she's had to train me in a lot of things. And if, guys, if you'd be honest, you've been trained too. Amen. Oh, you may not say you're trained. Oh, you've been trained. Uh-huh. Yeah. Honey, it's hot in here. Without even thinking, you'll jump up and do something about it. You've been trained. You say, well, Brother David, it's just not worth the hassle. Oh, she knows that. She fought with you for 5 years, making it not worth the hassle so that she could have the promised land. No more hassle. You know what? That's okay. Because if I can do that to make my wife happy, don't you think I would? Don't you think you should? Just those little things. Christian, protect your marriage. Protect your marriage because there's an adversary that walketh around seeking who he may devour. He walketh around realizing that a Christian is not going to do as good of a job being a Christian if they're apart from their wife. He realizes that if he can get marriages to split up and Christian homes to split up, he's got a victory. Most people don't see it that way. Most people believe that they're better off without their mate. Can I help you today? You're not better off. Are you better off without Christ? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Protect yourselves. Protect yourselves. Make sure, kids, that you pray. Pray. My wife made a list. I've told this story a lot because I fulfilled everything on it. The only thing I've ever fulfilled. My wife made a list of things that she had to have in a man. Things that, and at the time I was a boy, but still a little young. But she made this list. And on the list, she would not settle. She would not settle for anything less than this list. And she prayed, God, please bring me somebody that would fill this list. Please bring me somebody that I'd be willing to spend the rest of my life with. And God brought me to her. And God brought her to me. The great thing is she was able to see it. I was able to see it. And I would never want anything else than what God has given me. Understand this. I had to wait till I was 22 years old. What if you have to wait till you're 30? Are you willing to wait for God to bring you the perfect person? Are you willing to wait for a person to come along that God has brought you? That way, if it doesn't work out, blame God. But please understand that if God brought you together, it'll work. I don't know what turned me on to this today, and it may not have floated your boat. But can I help you? Your boat's sinking. Your boat's sinking. And we need to realize what marriage truly is. It is a gift from God. It is what he likened salvation to. That love, that caring. What he did for the church, he likened to a marriage. Interesting, he did his first miracle at a marriage. I think he really, really desires us to do better in our homes. Because if our homes are strong, guess what else is going to be strong? Our church. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, I'm still learning. Like I wouldn't even put myself as a even halfway good husband. I wouldn't. But I know where you can get the answers. You're not going to find them from Dr. Phil. You're not going to find them on John and Kate plus 8. They're getting divorced from what I understand. It's amazing. You need help from God. God is the only one that can help you to get through the hard times. And boy, when you get through, why do marriages have hard times? And I'm all done. Why do marriages have hard times? Why? Because making up is so good. Oh, now, yeah, I got a room full of sickos out there. I'm not talking about sicko. I'm talking about how great is it when you get through the fight? How great is it when you get through and you realize how much you love each other? How great is it then? If everything was always good, your marriage would be dull. Amen? Hey, I married a skiver. Woo, she is a firecracker. Every skiver is, I think it's like a gene that's in them. She's a good preacher. You should hear her preach. Preaches to a congregation of one. And there's an altar call every time. Love your wives. Love your husbands. Good Lord, we're having enough battle out there without battling amongst ourselves. Realize that God has brought you somebody. And if he hasn't brought you anybody, please pray for that to happen. Pray that your mate will be somebody God wants you with, not somebody that you want to be with. Because if God brought you the mate, I promise you, you'll want to be with them. That's the way it works. Submitting yourselves one to another. That's what God wants from us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I don't know why you had me talk about this morning, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care. I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach this morning. Lord, I don't want my preacher to be sick. Lord, please heal him up as quickly as possible. Lord, get him back to being with us. But Lord, I want you to sweep in and out of the pews right now. I want you to get inside the marriages of the people that are represented here today. Get inside their hearts and make them realize that without each other, they're nothing. They can't be apart. Lord, they've got to be together. What you've put together, no man should put asunder. Lord, have your will in your way throughout the lives of our marriages. Have your will in your way throughout the kids that are represented here, that they will seek the person that you want them to have. Lord God, it's too hard to go through this life trying to fight with your spouse. It's too hard going through this life without that person that's part of your flesh. It's too hard. Lord, please bring the marriages together. Bring them closer together, Lord. Don't let them fall apart. And let the Christians see that the Christian walk is a marriage. And it may not be easy all the time, but it sure is worth, it's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you've given me a tremendous wife and a great family. I'd be nothing without them. Lord, please bless the people here today. Let them see how great and wonderful marriage can be if they keep their eyes focused on you. Keep their desires focused on you. Have the men to lead as you'd have them to lead, not as they think they ought to lead, but as you'd have them to lead. And Lord, help the wives to want to build a great home. I believe the wife is more of a builder than we give her credit for. Lord, help us. Help us to look to you in a special way today. Help us to look to you and remove the bitterness that we have towards each other out of our hearts and realize that we're all going through a hard time. Be with each other in a very special way today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, without a doubt, 100% sure, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Put your hands up real big and tall. I've accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die.
You may put them down. How many can say, you know what, Brother Dave, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I've been married to Christ. I'm not sure that I've accepted him as my Savior, and I sure would like to be. Brother Dave, I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Please help me. Pray for me. How many would put their hand up real big and tall and say, you know what, brother, I'm not sure. Is there one? Then I'm talking to a bunch of married people here. Brother Dave, I don't have a spouse. Oh, yes, you do. You're married to Christ. Christ is your suitor. The question is, are you willing to walk away from that life? See, you can't get divorced from Christ. Christ is yours forever. You couldn't get away if you wanted to. No man shall pluck you out of my hand. No man shall pluck you out of my Father's hand. You can't get away. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Glory to God. And the great thing about no man, do you know no man includes you? You can't pluck yourself out of his hand. Brother Dave, that doesn't make any sense. Take it up with God. See, God desires a bride, a wonderful, beautiful bride, and he's called you. So, Christian, have you had your focus on someone else but your groomsman? Have you got your eyes focused somewhere other than on your spouse? Have you got your eyes elsewhere? Can we get it settled today? Because I'm going to tell you right now, without him, what are we? Without Christ, what are we? We're nothing. We're men most miserable. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you for putting this on my heart today. Lord, I'm glad that you did. Lord, help us. Help us to seek you out in our marriages. Help us to seek you out in our homes. Lord, please be with us in a special way today. Bless the invitation. Lord, go up and down each one of these pews and let the people know that you love them. Let the people know that you care about them today. Lord, bless our visitors that are here today. Lord, please be with them in a special way. Let them know how much they're loved and cared about. And I surely hope that they become a part of Bethel. Lord, bless the song service and bless the invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, sing a verse of invitation. Brother, which one are you on?